out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Drug addiction continues to be a problem in this country and other parts of the world. The amazing fact is that you may not know that you're living with an addiction problem and that the drugs in question may be in your own home. This is Afflicted by Addiction with your host, Bradley DeHaven. Brad has been on the front lines of addiction and will share the wisdom he's discovered along with guest experts and those who have lived through it or are living through it right now. Here's your host, Bradley DeHaven.
Welcome to Afflicted by Addiction. This is Bradley DeHaven, and I'm your host. We're here weekly Tuesdays at noon, and anytime after that, you can download our programs by going to rxdrugaddict.com, and you'll find a link right to the site. We're on Voice America, and I like being on Voice America. Voice America really says a lot about what this show is about. This show is meant to be the voice of America. Addiction afflicts people all across our country, not just happening in your backyard, and it's not just happening in the bad neighborhood. In fact, a lot of times, just the opposite. Again, my website is rxdrugaddict.com, and visit there also to find out about an upcoming rally, October 1st, called the Fed Up Rally, that's going to be in Washington, D.C., and it's going to have a lot of these parent groups that have sprung up from across the United States, these grassroots efforts that have come forth mostly because somebody has buried their child to prescription drug addiction or an overdose or lives with an addict among them. Today we're going to be joined by Larry Norman. Larry runs a really interesting, when I've heard about this, Sober Fun Adventures is the name of his organization. And when I heard about Sober Fun Adventures, I tracked Larry down and I really wanted to find out what he did. And after talking to him on the phone, I found it very interesting and I hope that you find it interesting as well. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bradley. Thanks for having me on the show today. And I also wanted to thank you for, you know, all the work that you do advocating for addiction and helping out families and others that are afflicted by addiction.
Well, I appreciate your saying so, and the listeners should know that I did not pay you to say that. No, I'm teasing. But I do appreciate you saying so. And there are a lot of people, as I'm sure you are, I'm humbled by the people that I work alongside all the time. I'm shocked at what they've been through and what they've been through in their life, and yet they choose to walk up on that stage or to start that organization and really sometimes remembering their deepest, darkest moment. And some of those moments include losing their children, as you know.
Right.
So I'm going to start the show the way I start all my shows, and it's with the same question for everybody. I found it to be a very telling question, Larry. And Larry will tell us a little bit more about himself as the show goes on. But Larry, I want to ask you right off the bat, are you afflicted by addiction?
Well, you know, I can say that, you know, I have been afflicted by addiction. You know, today I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic, and I'm living in recovery today. I started using alcohol and other drugs at a very early age. I grew up in a very volatile family situation, and at about 15 years of age, I discovered alcohol and other drugs, and it gave me that ability to hide in plain sight.
Right.
I could still be in the family, but I was numb to all the pain and turmoil that was going on around me. And
well, before we get into your brainchild Sober Fun Adventures, tell us about your life as an addict growing up. I know that you've been clean since 1992, is that correct?
Yes.
And so tell us about your addiction. What were you addicted to, and how did it all come about?
Well, like I said, I grew up in a volatile family, and I first discovered alcohol at a very early age, and then I other drugs became available to me, and I was using, you know, I was using the alcohol and drugs as a coping mechanism, because at that age I really didn't have any other way to cope. And when I found that, you know, it set me free, and it started me on a 25-year run of using every imaginable drug and always alcohol on the way. I was an intravenous drug user. I started using heroin at about 16 years of age, and then I used cocaine intravenously. And you know, at first it was fun, and I believe that, you know, it saved my life. You know, I don't know if I could have gone on living in that situation without something, and that something ended up being drugs and alcohol. And the problem with that is that once I was out of that situation, I had taken the drugs and alcohol, and those were my coping mechanisms, and it continued to be my coping mechanism until I was 38 years of age when I got sober. And you know, my life was a string of ODs and friends ODing and being in and out of juvenile hall and jails, and, you know, addicted to heroin. I was I was a junkie with no money, so I had to get very creative about how I got my drugs, and that created its own problems in itself. I was basically walking around, you know, at 37 years of age with the emotional stability of a 15-year-old.
I use the term a lot of times when I'm talking to parents. It was my own experience with my own son's addiction, and I use the term arrested development. It's almost like this person is frozen in time and didn't progress normally the whole time they were using drugs, and so they're almost immature, for lack of a better word, at some point. They do have that emotion, the mind of whenever they started using drugs or shortly thereafter. Don't you agree?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I had skirted every challenge that came my direction by using drugs and alcohol. Anytime, you know, I was angry or frustrated or, you know, I stubbed my toe, you know, I turned to drugs and alcohol. Anytime a challenge came to me, I turned to drugs and alcohol. And I didn't just use drugs and alcohol when things were bad. I used them when things were good. You know, I celebrated when something good happened in my life. So I was not only, you know, avoiding the challenges, I was missing out on the good times as well. I was missing it all. My life was just passing me by as I was in the fog.
You know, it's one of the things that addicts start to do is to not feel, and you're right. One of the things that they forget about is that they may not feel the bad stuff, or they may take drugs to make the bad stuff go away, as you mentioned you did, but they also stop feeling the good stuff.
Exactly.
So in your case, I mean, I talk to parents all the time that are in the middle of this, you know, uttering their words that they never thought they'd say, and that's, my child's a heroin addict, or worse yet, their child overdoses and passes away. And a lot of times there's some ownership to be taken at the parent level, and that's difficult that's a difficult pill for parents to swallow. But what you've described to me as your upbringing, this rough upbringing and what have you, a lot of times I try to get parents and addicts to try to remember what goes thump in the night. And I know that you're in the addiction world, and that you've worked in the treatment industry for more than 10 years. Don't you agree that a lot of times the parents need to take a good look in the mirror as well?
Oh, definitely. If you don't heal the family, you know, and the addict stays in the family system, if the family's not healed, the chances are slim that they're going to be able to stay sober. You know, this doesn't just affect the addict. This affects everybody in their life. For me, you know, at the end of my using career, you know, I was alienated from my family. I had stole from them. I constantly was lying to them. You know, I wasn't showing up for any family functions. You know, they literally didn't want to have anything to do with me at that point.
And if we take somebody and we put them in recovery, and then we toss them right back into that family, who's all of them are looking at them with one eye open. All of them want to kind of blame little Johnny the addict for all the hell that they've been through. But again, I think looking in the mirror and trying to heal the family, because I run into it a lot where there's addiction in the family, but the family doesn't think it's the same. The kid's shooting heroin and they're abusing alcohol, but it's okay for them to abuse alcohol. Heroin's the bad thing.
That's very common. That's very common. And on my road to recovery, you know, I've been sober since my first meeting that I went to. I used AA as a support group to get sober. You know, when I got sober, a treatment center was not an option for me. I was literally on the curb. I barely had a place to live. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a phone. You know, I was trying to hang on to jobs that I couldn't keep for very long. So, you know, if people have an opportunity to go to treatment, it's a real blessing, you know, to be able to do that. Although I utilized AA, and before I went to my first meeting, I had known that that alcohol and other drugs were destroying my life, and I had kept trying to quit on my own. And I had no idea that even treatment centers existed, and I didn't even know about AA or NA at that time. And so I went through the whole gambit that I'm sure a lot of addicts go through, is that I thought that the heroin was my problem, so I quit, you know, I kicked off heroin with other pills, and then I continued to take the pills and smoke weed and drink alcohol, and then I was still getting into trouble, and I thought, okay, shooting cocaine is my problem. I can't do that anymore. I cut that out, you know, and then I was still taking pills and smoking and drinking, and I was still getting into trouble. I'm like, whoa, you know, maybe it's the pills that are causing me the problem. So I quit the pills. And then I'm just smoking weed and drinking alcohol. And then I was getting DUIs and ending up in jail. And I thought, okay, it's the hard liquor that's giving me the problem. I'm only going to drink beer and wine. You know, and this story that I'm telling is common, you know,
very common
all the time. And so I'm just going to drink natural beer and wine. And then I was still having problems. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to smoke weed now. You know, because it kind of made me paranoid. I didn't really like it that much anyway. And guess what? As soon as I took that one hit off the joint, it started that phenomena of craving. And then I needed a drink to kind of calm myself down. And then I was sedated from the drink, so I needed a little cocaine to pick me up. And then I got too hyper on the cocaine, so I needed some heroin, and I was right back to my drug of choice.
Wow.
And that was the vicious cycle that I stayed in for literally years of my life.
Wow. You know, I tell people all the time, sobriety is a process. It's not an event. And I think what you've just described to us is a process, and unfortunately, a process that too many people go through. But parents don't understand. They're like, well, why doesn't little Johnny or little Janie just stop? But it's not that simple. And sometimes even after treatment, when they relapse, in the case of my son, which he did, we were devastated when he relapsed, of course. But I will always tell you from now looking back that I believe that was the one step back that he needed to take his giant leap forward in sobriety.
Well, having someone in the family saying, you know, just stop, what's wrong with you? You know, can't you see this is ruining your life? This is one of the stigmas that's around alcoholism and drug addiction. You know, I just call it addiction because I believe alcohol is a drug. You know, and in my addiction studies that I've taken, you know, they refer to it as, instead of alcohol and drugs, they refer to it as alcohol and other drugs. So I just refer to, you know, as a general category of addiction. And people say that, why don't you just stop? You know, literally the addict can't just stop. They can't just stop. It gets to a certain point where your choice is gone.
Well, I don't think there's anybody out there. Well, maybe in at the end of the day, people understand that the addict isn't doing this to themselves on purpose. This isn't their goal. Their goal isn't to be on the streets or addicted or disappointing their entire family. And just as absurd as to think that your goal as a parent would be to have a child that you could say, hey, my kid's going to be an addict when he grows up. It's one of those things that happens, and then we need to deal with it. And unfortunately, we as a society and families, we don't deal with it like we should. Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. We don't. But people are getting, you know, this is why education is so important. And like what we're doing right now is, if whoever is listening out there, they can get a little education. They can get a little understanding about how addiction affects the addict and how it affects the family and what you can do to turn it around. For, you know, for myself, to go back to my story, you know, I had the last night of my using, you know, I was at that point, I was smoking crack at the time, and I had gone to the dealer's house at like 3 a.m. I'm out on the street trying to get some more drugs, and I was buying a little bit at a time because I wasn't going to do any more, and then I was taking, you know, 10 trips through the night back and forth to the dealer's house, and on my way back to where I was living, you know, a police car drove by, and I jumped in the bushes, and I was hiding in the bushes, and I was laying there in the bushes, and I just had a kind of a moment of clarity there, and I thought, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? And I went home. I was doing my drugs there, locked up in my room, you know, with a cigarette burning in the ashtray, crack pipe in my hand, a bottle in the other hand, and a friend of mine that had been in recovery, she had been in recovery, she had relapsed, and she came by my house, and for some reason I opened the door, which was totally out of character for me because I had my drugs and everything was locked up, and came in and she said to me, you know, you can quit. And I said, no, I can't quit. You know, and at that point I was totally hopeless. I had lived my life as an addict, and I just, I was resigned to the fact that I was going to die an addict and that I couldn't quit. And she said, you can go to these meetings, and if you go to these meetings, you're going to be able to quit. And she said, she told me, you have a disease. And for some reason, when she said that I have a disease, I felt a sense of relief, because at that moment, I could stop blaming myself. I always thought I was worthless and spineless, and I had no willpower because of those stigmas of people saying, why don't you just quit? You know, can't you see it's ruining your life? And I was negative in the self-esteem department at that time. And so I said, yeah, right, I'm going to do that. And I ushered her out of my room, and I went back and finished up my drugs and alcohol. And the next day came around, and I didn't use that day. And then the day after that, I went to my first AA meeting. And I've been sober since that meeting. And, you know, it was a divine intervention, you know, that gave me that moment of clarity, that I could hear what she had to say to me. And believe me, that, you know, some people are not aligned with saying that it's a disease, and they don't want to, you know, stereotype themselves as that. But personally speaking, for me, it was a relief. Because I thought, you know, if somebody has cancer, they're not choosing to have that. You know, people have diabetes, they're not choosing to have that. You know, they have a disease. And when I thought of alcohol, when I thought of addiction as a disease like that, I thought it gave me a spark of hope. And I grabbed onto that, and it worked for me. You know,
I think admitting that there's a disease is an important thing for a lot of parents. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about not only admitting you have the disease and treatment. And Larry, we're talking with Larry Norman, and Larry's been in the treatment industry for 10 years and clean since 1992. And he's going to tell us about his brainchild and his passion, Sober Fun Adventures, which is an unbelievable program that we're going to share with you as soon as we get back from the break. You're listening to Afflicted by Addiction, and I'm your host, Bradley DeHaven.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Bradley DeHaven has spoken to thousands of parents and addicts, discovering commonalities and teachable moments that can spare you the consequences of addiction. The signs, symptoms, and solutions of drug addiction is something you can learn now, or when you are forced to. Bradley has written 2 books on drug addiction from the view of a parent. His no BS approach could save your child's life. Brad has been interviewed on Fox, ABC, CBS, The Huffington Post, and other forms of media. Brad and his son appear in the award-winning documentary, Behind the Orange Curtain. Brad's available as a keynote speaker for events and corporations. Learning about addiction is important for every family. All the rules have changed, and now the drugs that addict our children are synthetic heroin, prescribed by your doctor and found in your own medicine cabinet. Sign up for Brad's newsletter on rxdrugaddict.com and find links to his two books, Defining Moments and The Addict Among Us. Again, be sure to visit rxdrugaddict.com for more information.
Prescription drug and heroin use are epidemic in America. Every 19 minutes, someone dies from a drug overdose. Every 24 minutes, someone dies from a prescription drug overdose. Where do these drugs come from? Your own medicine cabinet, the middle school playground, friends, and the biggest problem of all, dirty doctors. Behind the Orange Curtain is a hard-hitting documentary that will open your eyes and your heart to this very real epidemic facing our youth today. Prescription drugs and heroin use. Addiction crosses all socio and economic barriers. It doesn't matter if you live on Park Avenue or the park bench. No one is exempt. It's in your city, your county, your state, and in your backyard. Behind the Orange Curtain is coming to iTunes April 23rd. Check out Behind the Orange Curtain on Facebook and visit our website at www.behindtheorangecurtain.net.
Hi, I'm Bradley DeHaven, and I'm the host of Afflicted by Addiction. The best rehab is the one that works for you. And this show has been made possible by the generous contribution of the rehab center that my son went to, Narcanon. I'm blessed that my son is 2.5 years clean of the drugs that once owned him. Narcanon gave him the tools that he needed to walk through a world filled with drugs and not return to the darkness of addiction. Narcanon did not want to run a commercial during this program, but I want to thank them for allowing the voice of those of you who are afflicted by addiction to be heard. Visit my website, rxdrugaddict.com, to get a link to Narcanon. And if you want to learn more, just click on the site. Again, the best rehab is the one that works for you. Most importantly, seek professional help if you are afflicted by addiction.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Afflicted by Addiction with your host, Bradley DeHaven. If you have a question or comment for Brad about the program, please send an email to brad@rxdrugaddict.com. That's brad@rxdrugaddict.com. Now back to our program, Afflicted by Addiction.
Welcome back to Afflicted by Addiction. I'm your host, Bradley DeHaven. Again, my website is rxdrugaddict.com. You can like us on Facebook at Afflicted by Addiction. I'm joined today by Larry Norman. Larry has been in the treatment industry for over 10 years. He's just told us his story about his addiction, and we're going to get into his brainchild here, Sober Fun Adventures. Welcome back, Larry.
Thank you, Bradley.
Well, let's talk about, okay, so you've got Sober Fun Adventures. The name right off the bat caught my attention. I wanted to know more about it, so I want our listeners to know more about it, but I want to know what inspired you to create Sober Fun Adventures, and what is Sober Fun Adventures?
Well, like you said, I've been working in the addiction field for 10 years, and where I've seen the most growth and joy come to the clients, you know, myself included, being in recovery, you know, we are through experiential activities. You know, for me, you know, I did therapy, you know, and I went through, even the process of going through the 12 steps was basically my therapy. And you know, for me, sitting in therapy and reliving the past, you know, I didn't need to do that continually. You know, I needed to create a new future. You know, and I believe that there are a couple of things that bring people into treatment or into recovery, and one of them is the current conditions in their life that they need to change, and the second one is that they have unresolved issues from the past, and the third is that some people have a chemical imbalance. People that have the chemical imbalance are very few. So in the process of going through therapy, you can change the conditions in your life that you need to change. You can resolve the issues from the past. And it's usually drugs and alcohol bring you to this point, but that's really not why you're there. It's these other issues that you need to address in your life that you've either been avoiding with through the use of alcohol and other drugs. So, you know, for me, I started doing these experiential activities with people, and what the results that I saw were phenomenal. You know, I've taken folks surfing, kayaking, hiking, stand-up paddle boarding. In Costa Rica, we do zip lining, waterfall rappelling. We go snorkeling and biking. And my wife accompanies me on the trips, and she's a yoga and meditation instructor. And that's essential. You know, it's essential. This is a true body, mind, and spirit adventure and journey in recovery. And the activities combined with yoga and meditation, you know, it brings a little peace to our overactive mind. You know, I don't know about you, but as an addict, my brain works overtime sometimes. So I need to incorporate these mindful practices. And, you know, when you're racing across the canopy of the rainforest at 40 miles an hour on a zip line, believe me, you're in the moment, you know? And so early in my sobriety, you know, I felt like I was doomed to a life of doom, gloom, and boredom without my drugs and alcohol. And so I know that other people have experienced this as well, and this is another reason that we developed Sober Fun Adventures. And I've come to find out that really there's nothing more exciting than participating in life. You know, like they say in the program, is living life on life's terms. You know, and this is essential for us as addicts, you know, to incorporate a healthy lifestyle, to get some balance back in our lives, and to do things that we let go of. You know, we let go of those things. We give them up to our addiction. You know, it's activities, people that used to exercise or do yoga, meditation, people that played sports or hiking. You know, we give these things up to our addiction. You know, all of our family traditions we give up. You know, we stop showing up for life. And right. So everything that's incorporated in these trips is to help people to reconnect with their life, reconnect with themselves, and to keep some mindful practices.
It sounds like it helps them kind of discover themselves, too. I know we talked earlier about arrested development and really skipping a big portion of your life. I think a lot of people never did the things that are truly fun. They considered drugs and alcohol or their drug of choice fun, and that became their lifestyle and then their entertainment and their nightly routine. And so they didn't go zip lining, they didn't go jogging, they didn't exercise in a lot of cases. Don't you find that to be the case?
Definitely. And what actually happens is that they give those things up, and even as bad as their lives are, they still can't give up the drugs and alcohol, you know, because they're trapped in that cycle of addiction. You know, it starts off when people are just doing some exploration, you know, with the drugs, and if they, you know, some people only go that far, and then they quit after the exploration process. Others of us, you know, through that exploration process, we latch on to a drug or alcohol that hits that spot for us, that numbs those feelings, and then we become dependent on that to manage our lives physically and emotionally, and our brain chemistry actually gets altered at that point. You know, our limbic system, survival reward system of our brain, it's compromised.
And then, when you look at people and people perhaps contact you about Sober Fun Adventures, do you think that some people are better candidates than others to go on Sober Fun Adventures, or do you think that this works well for anybody that's in recovery?
You know, this works well, and the key word is what you just said. It works well for anybody that's in recovery. You know, people that are good candidates for this, you know, can have 30 days that have successfully completed a program. They need to be solid in their sobriety. The length of sobriety doesn't matter. We've had people from 30 days to 20 years go on these trips. And
wow.
Even it's good for spouses and family. It's a good opportunity. A family could go on the trip, or a spouse can go on the trip to reconnect and to take some time for each other out of your out of your environment.
Yeah, so often the family unit is just so fractured after addiction and all of the baggage that comes with it. And I'm sure, you know, you can relate to that personally as well as all the people that, many of the people that you've worked with. But it sounds like that type of a togetherness event as a family might really help people to step back and understand that family really is everything and that that's what's important at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's a group process, and on these trips, you know, the group becomes a family as well. You know, we create our own family dynamic as a group there.
So you've mentioned a lot of activities that, to me, my question over my head is: do your candidates need to be physically fit to go on Sober Fun Adventures, or are there other activities as well?
Well, we designed this trip so that it would be good for anybody. We've had people with different physical ailments and different conditions, you know, that they've been able to go on the trip and participate in the activities regardless of the amount of fitness that you have your fitness level. We do everything as a group, you know, we went through these activities as a group, and the trip is designed where you can go on this trip. You can just chillax at the villa, you know, by the pool. It's in the middle of the rainforest, and read a book, participate in the yoga, meditation. We have a couple recovery-oriented groups through the day, or you can waterfall rappel, zip line, surfing, stand up paddleboarding. Some of these activities like stand up paddleboarding and surfing. We pick a beach that's very user-friendly. The waves are small. And if you're new at it, or we have more extreme. So it is really, these trips would be suited for anyone, regardless of your physical condition. You don't have to be.
You know, I've seen some of the pictures of some of your trips, and everybody just appears to be glowing. When I look at those pictures, I think these are people that were one time probably deep into some type of an addiction and in a very dark place. But to see that smile on their face and that glow in their eyes is something that, as a parent, I see now in my son, is such a blessing. And when I looked at your pictures, that it really reminded me of how I now get to look at my son versus the darkness that once covered him. And I think that's just, it's beautiful. I mean, the pictures of what everybody's doing, and like I said, they're just elated, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
Yes, I had a young lady that came on one of the trips, and she was suffering from chronic depression. I mean, she had given up on life. She was in like a pretty hopeless state, and she got herself together to go on this trip, and I took her out this person myself one day. Kayaking, and it took a lot of urging to get her to do it, but I got her out there on a kayak, and as soon as we settled into a rhythm of paddling, we got a little bit out, like a half a mile from the shore, and I could just see her just relax. You know, I could just see it in her the way she was holding her body and in her face, and we were paddling, and the water there is 85 degrees, so the ocean is just, it's heaven to go in there. And a pod of dolphins came by, and they swam right underneath our kayaks and actually brushed the bottom of our kayaks. And her face just lit up. I mean, she cracked with a smile that just spread across her face. And I had never seen her smile the whole time until that. And it had been one of her dreams to swim with dolphins. And
wow.
And to see exhilarating. And then she take off on the kayak, and I had to chase her. You know, I had a hard time keeping up with her. And this was like a life-changing experience for her.
So you've mentioned the rainforest and 85-degree water. Where are we talking about? Where is this destination of Sober Fun Adventures?
We hold the Sober Fun Adventure trips in Costa Rica, which is in Central America. It's between Panama and Nicaragua. We chose the Southern Pacific Zone, which is very remote. It's an extremely biodiverse area. There's rainforests, beautiful beaches. There are live volcanoes. Arenal Volcano is a live volcano. Costa Rica is considered one of the happiest places in the world. The people are very relaxed there. It's a very safe country. Costa Rica abolished their army in 1948. They don't have an army anymore. The president, is Laura Chinchilla, is a woman there. It's a very safe place, and you know there's rainforest and the wildlife is incredible there. You've seen sloths and howler monkeys and white-faced monkeys and toucans, and it's just, the life is just vibrant there.
Well, it sounds like this would be, I mean, for those parents that are listening, you do have a child in recovery, or for those that are listening that have a loved one in recovery, it sounds like this would be a really great regrouping experience in your mind, kind of like a hard reset in the computer world that kind of would reground you. I don't know, you know, if I'm using the right analogy, but to me, it just sounds like something that I think would have been very helpful to my son when he came out of rehab and treatment, because he was kind of like he'd landed on a different planet when he came out. And I think stepping back and doing something like this might be really healthy for people that are coming out of, because they look at you like the whole world has changed. They're seeing the world through completely different eyes all of a sudden. And I think that if you've got that new view, why not see the monkeys and the 85 degree water and all of this stuff and kind of regroup and realize how precious and wonderful life really is.
And it's we were saying earlier, it's like reincorporating these activities back into our life and creating some balance again, because when we're in that cycle of addiction, our lives get so out of balance, you know, that we need to reestablish ourselves. For me, I had to get a whole new group of friends. All my friends were alcoholics and drug addicts. So I had to reestablish, you know, a healthy support group around myself, and this is an opportunity to do that as well.
So on a typical trip for Sober Fun Adventures, I mean, how many times a year do you do a Sober Fun Adventure?
Right now we're doing our trips twice a year. The trips are 10 days long. It's about two of the days are travel. So you're traveling for 2 days, the first day and the last day. And then 10 days seems to work well, because it takes a couple days for people to decompress and get and slow down to the lifestyle pace that's in Costa Rica. People are not rushing from point A to point B there. You know, they have time in their lives. They take time to connect with people. So we're doing a trip in January. Our upcoming trip is January 29th to February 7th. So we do a trip in January, which is the summer in Costa Rica. And then we do a trip also in July, which is the green season in Costa Rica. And in July, we do the trip at the middle to the end of July, which is, they call it Viernil, which is the small summer. So it's in the green season, where it rains at least once a day, but the rain is warm and it really brings out the lushness of the rainforest.
Wow, sounds beautiful. Now you mentioned a villa, or we talked a little bit before the show, obviously, as well, so I might be crossing over on what you said earlier. But what are the accommodations like for the sake of our listeners? When you walk in, what would they or their loved one expect to see?
Okay, we have a villa. It's called the Jungle Villa, and it's a story. And it's how we found it. We were driving in the backcountry. We were trying to find this waterfall that someone told us about. And we came across this villa, and so we stopped there and asked the people for directions, and discovered that they rented the place out. So that's what we've been using, and it's an 8-bedroom villa. It's on 66 acres, out in the middle of the rainforest. There's nothing around it. It's about 12 miles from the ocean, so it's about 35 minutes from the ocean. There are five waterfalls on the property. They have.
Wow.
Tended hiking trails. They have a swimming pool. There's a jacuzzi there. There's a media room. They have a couple pieces of workout equipment there. Beautiful open air rooms and open air living spaces where you can really connect with the nature and the jungle there. It's not uncommon to see sloths and toucans and howler monkeys right from your rooms. All the rooms, balconies. It's a real piece of heaven there.
Well, I'd love to hear more about the accommodations and some of the places that you go and how far away they are when we come back from the break. We're joined today by Larry Norman. Larry Norman runs Sober Fun Adventures. He's telling us about what Sober Fun Adventures is all about. You're listening to Afflicted by Addiction. I'm your host, Bradley DeHaven, and we'll be right back after the break.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Prescription drug and heroin use are epidemic in America. Every 19 minutes, someone dies from a drug overdose. Every 24 minutes, someone dies from a prescription drug overdose. Where do these drugs come from? Your own medicine cabinet, the middle school playground, friends, and the biggest problem of all, dirty doctors. Behind the Orange Curtain is a hard-hitting documentary that will open your eyes and your heart to this very real epidemic facing our youth today. Prescription drugs and heroin use. Addiction crosses all socio and economic barriers. It doesn't matter if you live on Park Avenue or the park bench. No one is exempt. It's in your city, your county, your state, and in your backyard. Behind the Orange Curtain is coming to iTunes April 23rd. Check out Behind the Orange Curtain on Facebook and visit our website at www.behindtheorangecurtain.net.
Hi, I'm Bradley DeHaven, and I'm the host of Afflicted by Addiction. The best rehab is the one that works for you. And this show has been made possible by the generous contribution of the rehab center that my son went to, Narcanon. I'm blessed that my son is 2.5 years clean of the drugs that once owned him. Narcanon gave him the tools that he needed to walk through a world filled with drugs and not return to the darkness of addiction. Narcanon did not want to run a commercial during this program, but I want to thank them for allowing the voice of those of you who are afflicted by addiction to be heard. Visit my website, rxdrugaddict.com, to get a link to Narcanon. And if you want to learn more, just click on the site. Again, the best rehab is the one that works for you. Most importantly, seek professional help if you are afflicted by addiction.
Bradley DeHaven has spoken to thousands of parents and addicts, discovering commonalities and teachable moments that can spare you the consequences of addiction. The signs, symptoms, and solutions of drug addiction is something you can learn now or when you are forced to. Bradley has written 2 books on drug addiction from the view of a parent. His no BS approach could save your child's life. Brad has been interviewed on Fox, ABC, CBS, The Huffington Post, and other forms of media. Brad and his son appear in the award-winning documentary Behind the Orange Curtain. Brad's available as a keynote speaker for events and corporations. Learning about addiction is important for every family. All the rules have changed, and now the drugs that addict our children are synthetic heroin, prescribed by your doctor and found in your own medicine cabinet. Sign up for Brad's newsletter on rxdrugaddict.com and find links to his 2 books, Defining Moments and The Addict Among Us. Again, be sure to visit rxdrugaddict.com for more information.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Afflicted by Addiction with your host, Bradley DeHaven. If you have a question or comment for Brad about the program, please send an email to brad@rxdrugaddict.com. That's brad@rxdrugaddict.com. Now back to our program, Afflicted by Addiction.
Welcome back to Afflicted by Addiction. I'm your host, Bradley DeHaven, and we're joined today by Larry Norman, who runs Sober Fun Adventures. A couple of housekeeping items before we go on with the show, and that is that you can reach us at rxdrugaddict.com. The Fed Up Rally link is on my site. The Fed Up Rally will be October 1st in Washington, D.C. This will be a group of parents, activists, and people that are active in this unfortunate epidemic of drug abuse and drug addiction that's going on in our country right now, where we really want some attention from Washington. We want some attention from the FDA. We want them to stop rubber stamping drugs that are addicting and killing our children. We want some regulations in place to monitor these drugs and to train these doctors on the proper use of these medications. Right now, 99% of their training is coming from the pharmacy companies that sell the drugs. And there's just a litany of things that really would help curtail this epidemic, which now claims tens of thousands of lives a year, and it's got to stop. Now, more people are dying from drug overdoses than they are in car accidents or auto accidents as we speak today. So, and another little item is that last Tuesday, we got the Cures Bill in California, which is a prescription drug monitoring program, off the floor finally and onto its track to hopefully get the prescription drug monitoring program in California back up and running and funded. And I'm thrilled, and I was thrilled to be a part of that and to be able to testify in front of the Senate panel along with senators and the president of the California Medical Association and the district attorney and so on and so forth. So that's my housekeeping. And welcome back, Larry Norman.
Thank you, Bradley.
So when we left at the break, I kind of interrupted you. You were describing the accommodations in Costa Rica of Sober Fun Adventures. And I want to mention to everybody that it's pretty easy. SoberFunAdventure.com is your website, correct?
Yes.
And then from that website, you can learn more about cost and timing and all that kind of stuff. But just with what little you've told me, I'm ready to sign up. So I can tell you that it sounds like an incredible adventure. And tell us a little bit more about a typical day in this beautiful location, the accommodations that you've described to us. What's a typical day like there?
Well, we get up in the morning. We start the day with a yoga class. And then we, after the yoga class, everyone has a breakfast and freshens up. And then we have a recovery-oriented group. And then we have an activity that's planned for each day of the trip. And you can either participate in, and you can choose the activities you want to participate in. You don't have to do everything. You can pick and choose what you're gonna be aligned with. Or you can just stay back at the villa. You can do the yoga and meditation, do the recovery groups, and just relax with a good book, walk the hiking trails that are on the property. I mean, you could spend days just exploring the property there, and it's a beautiful, amazing environment. So then we take off for an activity. The activities are about probably a 30 to an hour drive away from the villa. Since it's in a remote location, depending on what we're doing that day, we have a zip line tour where we go to Manuel Antonio. It's in Capels. It's a little bit north of where the villa is. We use a company that has been doing zip lining for years in Costa Rica. They have 16 zip lines on this trail, going through the canopy of the rainforest, a Tarzan swing where you swing back. You're about 30 feet up off the ground, swinging from one tree to the other.
Wow.
And then we waterfall rappelling. We use a group that's in Uvita. It's a little bit south of where the villa is. And there are six waterfalls in a small canyon with a river running down it. And the waterfalls, the first one starts at, it's about 12 feet. And they gradually get taller and taller to the last waterfall is 60 feet. And these people have been waterfall rappelling for about 17 years now down there. And this is one of the most beautiful and exciting parts of the trip is doing the waterfall rappel. It's very simple, very easy to do. They're coaching you the whole time. You have someone next to you as well. We have stand-up paddle boarding and surfing that are available at the coast there. Dominical is 30 minutes from the villa, which is a world-class surfing spot. And then on either side of that, there are beaches that have small waves, conducive for someone who's just learning. We visit Cano Island. It's an island that's about an hour off the coast of Costa Rica. And we take a boat out there, and we go snorkeling. And it's like being in a tropical fish aquarium with all the different colored fish. And
beautiful.
On the way there, on our last trip, we saw a humpback whale that was about 200 yards from the boat. He came up and sounded, and he went down again, and the skipper of the boat, you follow them. And we got within about 50 yards of this whale. And he told us, he goes, you can jump off the boat, dive down about 5 meters. And he goes, you're going to hear the whale sing. And so I jumped off the boat. At this trip, my 15-year-old son was with me. And we both jumped off the boat and we dove down. And this was like one of the most incredible experiences of my life. I could actually feel the vibration of this whale song just permeating through my body. It was like almost on a cellular level. It was a quite incredible experience.
Wow, sounds incredible.
We also go to Manuel Antonio. It's a national park there. It's on a small peninsula on the coast, and it has this condensed wildlife that have all ended up on this peninsula because there are no predators there. So you can get real up close within 5 or 10 feet of howler monkeys and white-faced monkeys and toucans and sloths, and you go for a beautiful walk through the rainforest. And we introduce people to the lifestyle of Costa Rica. We take them to a farmer's market, which is in a small town called San Ysidro. It's like the real Whole Foods. Everything all natural, huge area, and they're selling every kind of fruit and vegetable that are all grown in the local area there. And so you can see how Costa Ricans live down there. It's like I said, they're not chasing the newest iPhone and the iPad, and you know, they don't have to have the latest Nike shoes that came out, and they're happy with their lives there. And there's a plaza there where people congregate at the plaza just to talk and to connect. And you don't see people texting and while they're having conversations.
That can get a little annoying. My rule now is with my sons is the first person to text buys lunch. So
we did something similar to that on one of the trips. We had everybody put their cell phones in the center of the table, and the first one to pick up their phone had to pick up the tip.
So let me ask you this. So during all of this fun, the sober side, because a lot of parents out there might be thinking, you know, after the hell I've been through and the hell little Johnny or Janie put me through, I'm not sending them on a vacation. But it doesn't. I know that there's more to this than seeing all this. There's healing going on too. Describe that aspect of this, of Sober Fun Adventures, for me.
Well, you know, these trips are, you know, they're more than a vacation. You know, I like to say that they're a journey in recovery. I have seen people, you know, on these trips, you know, we experience a freedom from our daily routine. You know, it's developing self-awareness, rebuilding self-confidence, self-esteem. People get a sense of accomplishment. You know, you're connecting with yourself there. You have some time to do some self-reflection. I had a gentleman that came on a trip last January, and he had a heart condition, and he had a device. He was on a list. He's on a list actually to get a heart transplant, and he had a device implanted in his heart that regulated his heartbeat. And if his heart rate got to a certain level, it would shock him and literally knock him down and recalibrate his heart. And
wow.
On this trip, as if it would have been maybe the last thing that he would have done, you know, that he could do. And we went on a long hike up this mountain, and he looked at it and he thought that he said, there's no way I can do that. And the group walked with him. You know, we took turns walking with him, holding an umbrella over his head. He kept checking his heart rate on the way up. He ended up making it up to the top of the hill, and which was something that he never thought that he would be able to do. He ended up stand-up paddleboarding. He ended up snorkeling in the ocean and zip lining. This is almost an extension of your treatment. You know, I'm a certified life coach. I'm a Ed Storty and Wayne Rader trained interventionist. I've developed my own model as recovery coaching. So you when you go on this trip, if you're early in sobriety, you know, you have all the support that you need.
Right.
And it's a learning and growth experience. And like we were talking about earlier, it's reconnecting with the things that we used to do that we had given up to our addiction. And if you've been around for a while, you know, this is a chance for us to get out of the hustle and bustle of everyday life, take some time for ourselves. You know, we have the phone, the computer, the kids, the dog, work, all of these must-dos in our life. And it's good for us to get out of our environment once in a while so we can get that headspace that we're looking for. We can get some of that peace and reconnect with ourselves, reconnect with nature, you know, with healthy foods and lifestyle and to the yoga and the meditation and the physical activity. This is a trip that anybody could benefit from.
Well, and I think if that's the case, you know, you shared with me that you thought that you would die as an alcoholic and an addict and that you were completely hopeless at one point. Now you have your arms around life like many of us just can't even imagine that you can do that much and be that many places and dive in the water and be next to the whales. And all of these things that you're seeing have really rekindled your spirit for life and shown you that life is incredibly precious, a blessing, and something that all of those other addicts out there that are feeling completely hopeless, and so many of them described to me that they've come to, they're at peace with the fact that they believe that they're going to die an alcoholic or a drug addict, and yet your adventure, I think, really highlights the fact that there's so much more life to be had. Here you've been clean since 1992, and you're probably in better health than you've ever been in your life.
That's true. I'm doing things that I never imagined were possible in my life. Like you said, I was in that hopeless state, and we don't have to live that way. There are so many alternatives. There are so many support groups. This being one of them. You know, this is a good motivator. If you're having a hard time getting your child into treatment, you know, you can hold a carrot out in front of them and say, look, you successfully complete your treatment, and this is what's waiting on the other side for you. This is what's possible for you. You know, this is attainable.
Well, that's great. That's a great thought, too. I mean, because so many of these parents do, you need something because you're at your wit's end. It's like I tell parents when you're down to the point of, with my own son, I said, look, the only way I'm going to help you any further is to pay for treatment. Other than that, we're done. I'm not buying you one more hamburger or putting one more dollar in your tank. It's just, to me, everything goes towards drugs when you start enabling at that level. So I think holding that proverbial carrot out there into the future with something like this would be a great idea. And by the way, how many people do you normally bring on a trip like this, or how many can come?
Well, we can bring from 10 to 20 people on the trip. I like to keep it around 10.
Wow, very manageable.
It's a little easier to get around, and it's a little more intimate.
Right. Well, we're joined today by Larry Norman. Larry Norman runs Sober Fun Adventures, which you can find at soberfunadventure.com. We've just learned about Sober Fun Adventures and all of the things that they do to help embrace and celebrate life after addiction has really taken you away from all those that love you. I hope that you'll join us every week on Afflicted by Addiction. We're on every Tuesday, and you can download our shows shortly after they air and listen to them at your leisure, whenever you like, and I hope that you'll share them with some friends. I'm Bradley DeHaven. I'm your host on Afflicted by Addiction, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Please join Bradley DeHaven for another Afflicted by Addiction program on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll be back next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time. We'll talk more then.